Coming to you live from the Hall of Truth, it's the Nate Darling Show.
Fire a warning shot across her nose.
With Jason Casey and Kareem Daniels. And now, relax, good citizen.
Nothing! You've got nothing!
Here's Nate.
Alrighty, and welcome back into another episode of the Nate Darling Show. Thank you for downloading. Thank you for listening. Thank you for shopping Amazon through the Shop Amazon tab at NateDarlingShow.com. If you've not been doing that, please begin doing that immediately. It helps support the show. We got stuff to pay for here.
That's right.
So that's where we are with that. Jason, again, off. He had family business to deal with.
Where's that whip sound when you need it?
Well, we can't afford the soundboard anymore. It's all, well, it's not that we can't afford it. We had it, and then Apple upgraded, and the app did not. So, before you update your iOS, make sure that your apps will still be good. Just a warning for everybody out there. At this point, I have now seen the Foo Fighters.
Congratulations.
Yeah, Wednesday night, I went to San Jose.
Oh.
San Jose. As we record this, it's in the future, but as you hear it, it's in the past.
I do not want to go to San Jose anytime soon, but I know I got to go back.
I would not be going to San Jose except for the fact that when Foo Fighters came to Sacramento, I was too sick to go 1 mile and sit in a seat and watch Foo Fighters.
Wow.
Yeah, that's how I was way too sick to go. It was last December.
Well, I think the people were grateful to you for not making them sick.
The nice thing about it is my friends, now the thing is with tickets now, you just send them electronically.
Yeah.
The nice thing now is they were able to sell my seat that night.
Oh, cool.
And the person who bought it never showed up actually at the seat.
Really?
Yeah. I'm guessing they came in the building and either did an ADA thing where they're handicapped, so they were like, hey, I'm handicapped, I need an ADA seat. Or they just hung around downstairs and listened.
Yeah. Because maybe they went up to the, did they open that, is like a balcony upstairs?
Where the, Sierra Nevada bar is. I don't know. That's normally closed for concerts, but you can still stand there.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Maybe they did that, but I mean, if I were going to a concert, I'm like, do I really want to go all the way up to the top, or it's Foo Fighters? Do I just want to stand here on the end and listen to them?
Yeah.
Because you can see them. You can see the whole show.
Yeah.
Golden One. So when it was announced shortly after that they were going to be coming to San Jose, some 10 months later, my buddy said, hey, they're coming to San Jose. Do you want to go? And I was like, yeah. And so we're going.
Cool.
So they're seeing them for the second time. And I'm seeing them for the first time.
Foo Fighters.
So very excited about that. What else? By this time I should have my motorcycle license as, well, we'll see. Cause at the morning after, Davis DMV, first thing in the morning.
Okay.
Because appointments are 6 weeks out.
Oh, damn.
Fuck appointments.
Yeah.
So I'm going to just, I have the morning off. I'm going to get up. I'm going to go to the DMV first thing, be there when they open, and take my motorcycle test.
You're going to look like, what is that? I can't think of the superhero. And he's not considered a superhero. He's a supervillain.
The Penguin?
No. Not Cyclops. He has the helmet that they have to keep on. He's in the X-Men.
Oh, yeah. No, because I only have to take the written test.
Oh.
And I'm not wearing a helmet for that. That's why I took the motorcycle safety class with the CHP, because you pass that class, you only have to take the written test.
And he's in Deadpool.
Yeah.
Deadpool 2. I can't think of the name of his name now. Oh, man.
Either way.
Yeah.
No helmet. No, I mean, I could wear a helmet to take the written test, but I think they'd look at me weird.
Yeah.
They'd be like, sir, you can take the helmet off. There's no need for that. We'll have the motorcycle license. We'll have seen Foo Fighters. And, so one of the things I will do this weekend is actually take the Harley out.
Okay.
My wife's Harley. Our Harley now.
Yes. It's y'all's Harley.
It's our Harley. Because what's hers is mine, and what's mine is hers.
Yes.
Including my nuts. Anyway. Hey, look. You just got to pick the right person, and then, you know, here's my experience. A third time's the charm for that. First two times, I don't know. I was just checking to make sure the recording was working. Uh-oh. I didn't look to see if she was coming in through, for that. All right. So let's just jump into the show. There are parts of, oh, hold on. I don't need that music. So there are parts of California that are, you know, big metropolitan areas.
Yes.
Beautiful coastlines. And then there's places like Farmersville, which I had.
Bertha Osejos showed up at the victim's home on Avenue 304 around 5 o'clock last night. She asked the man for $5,000 to go to Mexico and have an exorcism, but became angry when the victim wouldn't hand over the money. That's when they say she pulled out his colostomy bag and tried to hit him with an iron. She even broke windows in the man's house, but fled before deputies arrived. They were able to track her down and arrest her.
Well, apparently she needed the exorcism.
She needed something. She's 56, and, yeah, she needed $5,000 to go to Mexico to have an exorcism.
She's going to go see a curandero.
Farmersville, by the way, is in the middle of nowhere, southeast of Fresno.
Okay. I was like, I've been to a lot of places in this state.
Right?
I do a lot of driving for work. And did him when I worked in construction too. So, like, I've never heard of that one.
I had to Google it. I'm like, where the fuck is this place? Yeah. How do I make sure I never go there, ever? All right. Meanwhile, Facebook was very giving this week with videos. There was some drama at the Walgreens. Okay, there's an angry black woman who looks a little like Wanda Sykes. And she looks to be wearing Nikes, some blue scrubs, and a gray hoodie. And so the video starts with the security guard and the guy filming walking back toward the Walgreens pharmacy.
Uh-oh.
They're in the back corner of the store. At this point, they've arrived. And here's how it goes from there.
Let her give my daughter medicine right now. Look, they got.
So she's talking to the security guard about the pharmacists.
Yeah.
And the pharmacy assistants. There is not a person in this room that isn't African American.
Yeah.
This is the Walgreens for the black folk.
Yeah.
So just keep that in mind as everything goes forward. There is no one other than black people in this Walgreens, because I'm guessing when she started yelling, any that might have been there went the other way.
Yeah.
Not the medicine. She just told me to go over there and talk to this lady for the medicine. I told them I don't need nobody talking to me. She gonna just tell me that I gotta have to come over here for that ring me up. Why don't you just ring me up? Let me go. I just wanna go. Let me get my prescription. Oh, yeah, bitch, you want to
threaten me? Okay, so the pharmacy assistant took a bag with something in it and sort of threw it at this lady, which is what precipitated that outburst.
Okay.
Okay, again, there is no one in this video that is not black.
Okay. And if you go to the pharmacy to get a medication, the pharmacist usually will talk to you if they don't know whether you've had this medicine or not before.
Right.
So...
Just give me my medicine. Now, meanwhile, this poor little girl who looks to be about 4 or 5 years old,
yeah,
and apparently has already been to the hospital today,
yeah,
and needs this medicine, is just hanging there like, what's going on? We still got a ways to go here.
Let me get my don't touch me. Let me get my prescription and leave.
She can't throw in that high job.
Let me get my prescription before I can leave.
What you talking about?
But she just threw some in her eye.
Yeah, exactly, bitch. Come out here, you stupid bitch. Give me my shit. Don't touch me.
I get it.
You keep putting your fucking hands on me.
So that's the security guard who keeps trying to put his hand in front of her and sort of guide her away from the pharmacy counter. Because this is not a pharmacy where they're up on a level. It's Walgreens. Everybody's on the same level.
Yeah.
Which is a mistake.
Yes.
It's a terrible mistake.
Touch me again, bitch! Touch me! What you talking about?
At that point, she's just threatened to punch the security guard, who is a full foot taller than this woman.
Yeah.
He is a large security individual. He does not want to get into it with her.
And the guy who's filming is instigating.
He's not helping anything.
Give me my fucking medicine! Y'all give me my motherfucking medicine! Give me my medicine! My prescription!
I need my prescription! Yes, I want to get the lady up. Just give her a shit for her door.
I'm not leaving. Fuck out of here.
Meanwhile, the garage door at the pharmacy is closing slowly.
They already know this is going left.
They're like, just close it. This isn't going to improve.
Y'all give me my fucking prescription before I can go.
Oh, damn.
That's it. What the fuck? Get it.
Call 911. Everybody call 911. You
call me. I'm not leaving.
You the police. We ain't
finished. He just tried to do something.
She just threw something at her.
Yes.
She threw something at her.
Exactly. Customer got the right. You have security guard, get my shit. Let me leave out.
So, meanwhile, not only is the guy filming in the background, there are people walking in between him and this woman who are also filming.
Yeah, so they're instigating because they want her. They want something that they can put online.
I feel bad for her.
I do too.
Because clearly she's got, and you know who I feel worse for? Her daughter. Her daughter is sick.
Yeah.
Her daughter needs medicine.
Yeah.
She's been in the hospital getting tests or whatever, because I'm guessing, by the looks of it, they don't have a doctor, so they went to the emergency room.
Yeah.
So you know she's been in the hospital for several hours. She doesn't feel good. She needs medicine. And her mother is losing her shit.
Yeah. Her mother's tired.
And
they've probably been up with her all night, so she's now losing her shit, yeah.
And this little girl is not at all fazed by this behavior.
No.
Which tells me it's not unusual.
Right.
Walgreens.
Yeah.
It was really hard to watch that and listen to it. And like, cause you just feel bad. You feel your first reaction is, why are you screaming like a maniac?
Yeah.
Why are you screaming like a maniac? And I get it. I've been where you go to the hospital and then you just want to get your prescription. I've been where I've been to a hospital or an urgent care where I've spent several hours and they're like, oh, we'll send your prescription over. And I go to pick it up and it's not there. It's not ready.
Yeah.
And what you have to remember is it's not the pharmacist trying to fuck you over.
Yeah. And that's the thing. The pharmacy person wasn't trying to do anything to you, but.
Well, there was the one who got tired of it and was just like throwing it through a bag with whatever in it at her.
Yeah.
Like, get the hell out of here.
Yeah. But they want to make sure that you know what you're doing with the medicine so that your daughter doesn't die.
Exactly.
From the medicine.
Yeah. Here's a minute. Make sure she can only have so much of this.
Yeah. And, you know, and it might have been a medicine where there were like really special instructions because certain things they won't just give it, you know.
Yeah.
They won't just give it to you and be like, okay, here you go.
Yeah. Well, honestly, if it's a new medication, they won't do it. Like, if I go to the pharmacy and I have a new medication, they will not give it to me unless the pharmacist comes over and explains to me what the medication is for, how much I should be taking. Yeah. I'm a grown man. I'm not screaming. I'm not yelling.
Yeah.
Clearly, I know what it's for. They'll ask when I go to get refills, although now I get the ones through the mail. But they'll be like, do you need it? And I'm like, no, it's a refill. And they're like, oh, okay. It is a refill. But all of these people standing around instigating.
Yeah.
Just egging it on. Like, yeah, that she threw something at her. Yeah, why won't you give her a prescription?
Yeah.
It's like.
You need to be punched in the mouth.
Just leave it alone.
Yeah. Like, it has nothing to do with you. Just get away from her.
Yeah. Let her rave out. If you want to film it from a distance and keep your mouth shut.
Yeah.
No one wants to hear you anyway. No one wants to hear you anyway. Just remember that. And if they do, get a podcast.
Yeah.
That's what I did. meanwhile, a Minnesota man is facing several criminal charges after he admitted that he arranged the letters on a signboard outside an Arby's restaurant. It's not funny. To spell out an offensive message. Once he was done, he rearranged it. And by the way, this guy has got to be a master of the jumble. You've calling it up on your phone?
Yeah.
I'm going to let you read the sign then, since you can see it.
Now hiring niggas and hoes.
Yeah.
Whores. He didn't even say it, put hoes. He put whores.
He put whores. He wants whores. According to police, Usadini Christopher Calling Harper, that's a lot of names, 19, said that he was waiting for a bus when he decided to alter the sign outside the eatery in Brooklyn Center, which is a Minneapolis suburb. He told cops he was bored, gathered letters from both sides of the signboard to create the message that you just read. A patrolman who spotted the altered sign around 7 a.m. Saturday immediately removed the message and notified the business when they opened. Cops investigating turned to Facebook, where the image was first posted by his girlfriend. She identified Calling Harper as the perpetrator, adding that he thought the racist message was funny. When confronted by police, he reportedly confessed the defendant, who lives in Minneapolis, has no known ties to Arby's and was not employed by the restaurant. Look, he has, whatever you may think of it, he has no known ties to Arby's.
Yes.
He looks a little like a young prince. A little bit. In a series of Facebook's updates, he has posted photos of the defaced sign and replied to a friend's question about what the Arby's sign read prior to his handiwork. He said, IDK, it's some like now hiring managers and some else. I got letters from the other side of the sign. He also posted a photo of the defaced sign to his Instagram page, along with the caption, "This is why nobody eats at Arby's."
Wow.
That's not why no one eats at Arby's, dude.
No.
By the way, when you stop riding the bus, then you can have an opinion about Arby's.
Exactly.
Until as long as you're still riding the bus, motherfucker, you leave Arby's alone.
Sit your dumb ass down somewhere.
Oh, boy. meanwhile, in Canada, police chased an armed man through CF Polo Park on Friday before tackling the suspect in the parking lot outside the Hudson's Bay store. One witness said she had a fleeting encounter as the suspect raced past the socks, scarves, and jewelry before he sprinted past the cosmetics and out of sight. Said, "I saw this man. He was running, and he was carrying garden clippers. And I said to him, 'Is there anything, sir, I can help you with today?' The witness said, 'I'm very polite.'" Well, of course you are. You're Canadian. He's running, and he turned around and says, "No, thank you." I'm looking at him. He's got garden clippers, and I'm seeing the clippers and thinking, "We don't sell clippers. I have the same ones at home." The clerk put her greeting down to the customer training. Those garden clippers were, in fact, bolt cutters. Hot on his heels, she said, were two police officers running after him. One officer raced by her carrying a weapon that she said looked like an assault rifle. Winnipeg police confirmed they responded to the report of a man armed with what looked like a firearm around 10:30 a.m. They spotted the man running into the mall and chased him, tackling him in the parking lot. Now, it's possible the officers had their weapons drawn in response to the potential threat. That's according to police. At the Bay, multiple witnesses said police tackled the suspect outside the store in the parking lot along St. James Street. Police say they seized a black handgun-style pellet gun and bolt cutters as they took him into custody. One witness said the potential threat didn't hit home until afterward. "This is retail, for heaven's sake. I could have stepped in front of him. I could have been knocked down or worse." Or not. It didn't actually happen.
Exactly.
There have been accounts of police pursuing suspects in the mall over the years, but none through the Bay store. The incident follows recent violence at Toronto's Yorkdale Mall. It's scary, like what happened in Toronto. York Regional Police there charged a 20-year-old man after reports of gunfire outside the shopping center at the end of August. In Winnipeg, however, no one was hurt. Police said they believe the suspect had first stolen a pair of shoes from a nearby business, then went to a second store and tried to use bolt cutters to steal a bicycle. Someone there confronted him. He fled. By mid-afternoon, the 22-year-old Winnipeg man faced weapons and theft charges in connection with the incident. He could have run me over. It didn't.
They should have stopped and shot him in the ass.
I don't think that that's okay in Canada.
Just one cheek.
All right, so, Kareem, are you thinking about renting out your home for some Airbnb?
No.
Well, me either, and this is just one of the reasons why. Let's... Oh, come on.
Where do we begin?
Oh, I'll tell you in 14 seconds. by the way, between here and there, there's an app, Assassin's the Odyssey.
Ooh.
That's what they're advertising. Assassin's Creed Odyssey, I'm sorry. Now to
use needles, human waste, and piles of trash filling a San Francisco home after a tenant moved in for several months. The damage was so bad, a hazardous materials team had to be called in to clean up this mess. The multi-million dollar home in the city's Marina District was rented through the website Airbnb. The manager of the property believes the renter was using that home as a drug den. KTVU's Paul Chambers shows us inside this mess.
These pictures cannot begin to show or describe the horror that was hidden inside a home in San Francisco's Marina District.
Just that foul odor, you couldn't even stand more than 10 seconds in there without having a gag.
Egan Lim took this video of his friend's trashed house. For the last 3.5 months, a man rented this space on Airbnb. And this is how he left it. Trash and fecal matter covering the floor, a bathroom that no longer worked, and a major health hazard, used needles.
It was hard to discover that there where the needles
by the way the feces on the floor is a health hazard too
everywhere and then blood yes. stains on the bed.
Lim says from the time the man stayed in the home he never used the trash cans. Instead he littered on the floor.
It's disturbing to hear that that's going on in the neighborhood, and unfortunately the owner didn't know about it.
Neighbors never reported any issues about
yeah Pat the neighbor said it's unfortunate.
No signs from the outside that there was a problem. However, that all changed last week when the man left at the end of his contract.
After the gentleman checked out, the cleaner was scheduled to come in to clean the place. He said immediately, they're not going to clean it.
Lim says normally the owner pays around $100 to clean this 225-square-foot room. But with this level of unsanitary living, it was a lot more. Lim wouldn't disclose exactly how much the owner paid, but did say he had to hire a 3-member hazmat crew that usually worked to clean up crime scenes. And it took 6 hours to get the place almost back to normal. And there's still a lot needed to be done. The sod has to be removed outside, a new toilet also. However, Airbnb will probably foot that portion. In a statement from the company, it says, "We have a zero tolerance for this type of behavior and have removed this individual from our community. We are in touch with our host and are fully supporting them under our $1 million host guarantee program." Lim says his friend will still rent out the space, but is left with lots of questions.
It's sad. What drives a person to that point where they lock themselves up and shoot up?
It's called drug addiction.
It's, man, no matter what good shit you come up with, there's always somebody that wants to fuck it up.
Right? Unbelievable.
Like, really, you just...
I didn't think you could Airbnb for 3.5 months.
I didn't either.
I thought that was like, oh, yeah, we'll go there for like a week, 2 weeks. 3.5 months. But the Marina District in San Francisco, if you're unaware, beautiful area in San Francisco.
Yeah. That where you wanted to go to get high?
There are plenty of places cheaper than that to get high in San Francisco.
Exactly.
I mean, I don't...
Like you could have found a place for free.
Right. Right on the street. Meanwhile, there's an art gallery owner who has a parking lot dispute with the church next door.
Ruh-roh.
He's found a cheeky way to get around it. He's put a sign up that will shame
people
who park there.
It's meant to be satire, and hopefully people get it, and it's meant to be ironic.
This sign is pretty blunt on Blossom Street in Houston's Magnolia Grove neighborhood. It reads, "Parking only for gay conversion therapy."
We tried reason. We tried anger. And neither of those things worked. So We're trying humor.
Hiram Butler says for years he's been in a parking dispute with one particular neighbor. Butler says this nearby church, River Point's West End campus, owns this house and hosts events 3 to 5 times a week. People end up parking cars on Butler's property.
Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. The golden rule.
Last month, artist Robert Rosenberg suggested this idea to Butler, along with these bumper stickers, reading Follow Me to the Blossom Gay Conversion Therapy Center, where we pray the straight away.
Sometimes the only way to deal with those people is by hitting them on the head as hard as you can with a joke.
They've had events and they've continued to occupy all the parking spaces.
Pastor Patrick Kelly told us in a statement they want to be the best neighbors possible, saying we host a Bible study across the street from Mr. Butler's property in our private residence and will continue to be diligent to prevent our guests from using Mr. Butler's 4 parking spaces.
I'm as gay as a goose, and Robert's as gay as a goose, and it is not anti-gay.
But I think if you look at it, you're going to see it has to be a piece of satire. What else would it be?
They didn't need to tell us they were gay as a goose. We no. knew.
Yes.
We already knew.
Hey, just don't be an asshole. Stop right. parking in your neighbor's parking spaces.
That was amazing. That was absolutely amazing. Gosh, Houston sounds great, doesn't it?
Oh, my God.
Meanwhile, in Illinois, Alton police arrested a man well known to them Friday morning, undaunted by his appearance in a clown costume. That's right, clown costume.
Oh, God, dude.
You see your cousin in his clown costume?
Like, look, he should have gone to jail for putting on a clown costume. If the Universal Soul Circus wasn't in town, you know he was up to no good.
Right? It was absolutely nuts. The suspect, Ronald M. Singleton, 54, a longtime Alton resident, but with court records listing a DuPo address, allegedly entered a vacant house on Washington Avenue. Once inside, he put on a colorful red, white, and blue, and yellow clown costume, came outside and began kicking the door of a second empty building that formerly housed the law office. He also carried a complimenting multicolored umbrella. A clown with an umbrella. The witness, an employee of a nearby business, called police, and they arrested Singleton around 9:30 a.m., about a half a block south, still dressed in the costume. He had left the umbrella behind on the steps of the second building. The public information officer said Friday morning it was too early to say what charges Singleton might face. Police were frightened several years ago during a spate of incidents across the country where individuals would pop up along roads or in wooded areas dressed as clowns, with authorities warning the public they could endanger themselves by wearing costumes. You remember that?
Yeah.
We were doing the podcast then. People were showing up everywhere dressed as clowns, and cops were like, hey, don't do that, because eventually someone's going to shoot you. Because they were being menacing clowns. By the way, last month he was cited with pedestrian under the influence of alcohol or drugs on both August 17th and 19th. And with littering on the 18th. It was a busy 3 days. As part of 11 total offenses in 2018, not counting last Friday's incident.
Wow. So he probably should be in a mental institution.
He's probably not right in the head.
Yeah.
Would be my guess.
Yeah.
you can say that about most clowns. I mean, that's pretty genuine for the whole thing, but, anyway, let's do this.
And now it's time for the airing of the fucking grievances.
All right, Jason's not here. Normally he's got something where he ends up being mad at himself.
Yes.
So, what's been chewing at you?
I talked about it a little bit on the last podcast, but since I have time now.
Yeah.
People, you need to start paying attention to the shit that's going on politically. And the Democrats and the Republicans are playing two different fucking games. The Democrats are trying to govern. The Republican Party is about control.
Okay.
They are a dying party.
Mm-hmm.
So they're trying to do anything that they can in order to maintain control. They are trying to have a constitutional convention.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you've heard about that.
I've not.
Yes. So they are legitimately... So with all of the gerrymandering and everything that's going on, they have made it where they have had it ratified in, I think it was like 32 legislatures across the country. Like, you have to have a certain number in order to have the Constitutional Convention.
Yeah, I believe it's 2/3.
Yeah, well, they've been secretly, they've been sliding these into houses like all over the country to try to get this in so that they can have a constitutional convention, and they want to roll back all the progress we've made for the last 115 years.
Sure. That makes perfect sense for them to do that.
Yeah. And the thing is one of those things that sounds so far-fetched that when you hear it, you're like, whatever, they're
right?
not going to do that shit. But no, they are actually taking steps to do it. And there are no rules that are in place for this. So, this is some real, it sounds far-fetched, but this is some real shit. And they have a lot of different things like this that they are implementing or trying to implement throughout the country that you really need to be paying attention to, because the aim of what they're doing is totally different from what the other party is trying to do.
Right.
They're on some devious shit. So, pay the fuck attention. Not everything that somebody tells you is a conspiracy theory. You at least need to look into some of this shit, because they really are up to some shit.
I would suggest looking at North Carolina.
Yes. Oh, that was the original thing that I wanted to talk about. Because, okay, so these motherfuckers gerrymandered North Carolina to the point where the court threw out the first one, and they came back with another one, and they threw that shit out again.
Mm-hmm.
These motherfuckers, okay, North Carolina A&T is the largest historical HBCU in North Carolina. These motherfuckers wrote a district that separated the campus of the university.
Fantastic. And yeah, and here's the rub. So a court has ruled it unconstitutional, but it's too late to do anything about it before the next election. So those are going to be the districts.
Yeah. A college, they divided the district so that they could... Oh, and then moved the polling places out away from the college.
Mm-hmm.
So that the kids wouldn't be able to vote.
Right. Yep. And across the South, there's a lot of places where they closed a bunch of polling locations.
Right.
And put them in places where the poor people wouldn't be able to easily get to them.
Yeah. So this is the kind of shit that they're doing. You got to pay attention. Otherwise... That's part of the reason why we ended up with dumbass.
Mm-hmm.
And they like to talk about President Obama's been out speaking over the last weekend.
Yeah.
They like to say, oh, well, you rejected him and that the Democrats lost all of these seats under him. They did not lose those legitimately. Part of it was the Democratic Party's fault because they never fully embraced his ideals.
Right.
And the other part was there was a lot of fucking gerrymandering going on, and a lot of those houses... And a lot of those states, the courts are throwing out all of their fucking gerrymandered districts. Pennsylvania was another one.
Yep.
So pay a fucking attention. Get out and vote.
Yeah. If you live in California, it's not quite as bad.
Yeah.
But, yeah, especially if you live in a state that might lean red.
Yeah.
Pay attention.
Yeah. And even the ones that are states that are purple. Or that are mixed.
Yeah, those are the real places where it's
really
becomes
bad.
An issue. Yeah. I like to... it's funny because everybody's like, oh, Senator Susan Collins from Maine, she's sort of a liberal Republican, so she's going to... No, she's not.
No, she's a Republican.
She's a Republican from a state that has elected a Tea Party idiot as governor.
Yeah.
And so... I will say this, Ned, and I have some friends that live in Maine. I went to college in Maine for a year and a half. And when I left Maine, I said, thank God This state is full of some of the dumbest people I've ever met. And they vote.
Yeah.
And they vote. I don't have anything quite so serious as all that, because that's some serious shit. My grievance is with the NFL, and in particular, my San Francisco 49ers.
Uh-oh.
Because I was given some hope. I was given hope. And not the Obama-style hope. This was hope. I got Jimmy Garoppolo in his 5-game win streak at the end of last year. I had, we got some plans. We're going to do some things. We got this. I turned the game off in disgust on Sunday and went to Costco.
Oh, damn. And your team didn't even tie.
and no, they didn't come back to tie. They did score 10 points after I left and did not allow any more. But what I saw in the time I was watching did not give me any confidence in them this year. Now, what makes it even worse is I was watching the Fox pregame show, and Terry Bradshaw said they're not as good as people have been saying they are. Don't be fooled by the hope. They don't have any hope. And Jimmy Johnson said, "Yup, you're right." And I went, "Son of a bitch!" Now, granted, they were on the road against a team that made it to the NFC Championship game last year. And they lost their starting running back the week before the season opened.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And they lost their top wide receiver in the first half of the game. And they lost their starting guard during the game as well. So,
oh, damn.
Right. These all went out to injury. And so there's some of that. But remember, last week we talked about on Labor Day, went up to Reno and placed some money.
Yeah.
On the 49ers winning the Super Bowl. Amongst other things.
Hey, you never know.
It's one game, but I was a little pissed.
Yeah.
When you know you're upset when you go, fuck it, let's go to Costco. And judging by the crowd at the Costco in Woodland, I'm not the only one. Because it was really busy.
Oh, at least your mom didn't jinx you during the game.
No, my mom's been dead for 5 years. It'd be very weird if she did.
So I'm watching the Steelers game. They're up 21-7 in the fourth quarter.
Right. And they're playing the Browns.
And she opens her mouth and says, "Do you think the other team has time to come back?" Shit you not. Next two possessions, James Conner fumbles. The Browns returns it to the 2-yard line.
Uh-huh.
Ben Roethlisberger fumbles, and the Browns score again. 21-21.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
A tie. Cheers to the Browns for breaking their losing streak without winning. So amazing. I was like, I saw the score and I'm like, Steelers got this in the bag. Nope.
Yeah. Part of it was they went into the, we're going to close them out with the run game too early.
Oh, yeah. That'll get you every time.
Yeah.
Especially when your star running back is holding out.
Yeah. No, they didn't miss him at all. It just, like, you should have just kept scoring. They do that, though. It's like, hey, don't stop trying to score until there was 4 minutes left in the game.
Yeah. All righty. Still complaining. Time to move on. So that's the airing of the grievances. Some more serious than others. I mentioned that Facebook's been giving a lot this week. Here's another Facebook video that I found. It's called "Mom Sits in Front."
Uh-oh.
and the caption on screen is, "His GF is mad his mom is in the front seat." So you got a camera mounted in the middle of the front seat, a gentleman in the driver's seat, and his girlfriend is in the back seat. She's turned sideways, facing out the window, and has her forehead on her palm.
Is she black?
It's tough to tell. They might be mixed race. I'll let you listen to hear what it sounds like. At a certain point, mom chimes in as well. So you'll get a chance to hear and decide for yourself, is it okay that mom sits in front?
front. You don't want to be in the front.
You're still complaining, though.
Yes, I'm
You're still complaining. My mom is sitting in the front. That's why you're in the back.
That's it.
What's the problem, though?
I should be in the front. I'm in the front.
Okay, you're my shorty. She's my mother.
All right, and I should be in the front. This is not just your car. This is my car, too.
Okay, you in it.
What difference does it make whose car it is? I don't understand why you have such a fucking problem with me being in the front.
Because I should be there.
Why?
I'm his shorty.
Big deal. I'm his fucking mother. If it wasn't for me, he wouldn't even be here.
Exactly. I wouldn't even be here.
What the fuck? That's some bullshit.
Yeah, let it be bullshit. That's bullshit. But if it wasn't for me, he wouldn't be here, and you wouldn't be here.
So why don't you sit back here?
Because I'm not.
Because she's not.
That's why.
Because she's not.
Because the back is wet.
She's not.
Fuck out of here.
Because I should be in the front, though.
All right. What? All right. You should be in the front and you're not. What happened?
Yo, get her to the store and get her some fucking tissue, please.
Oh, you got some tissue?
Yes.
For
what?
So she can fucking wipe her fucking tears.
Oh, so she can wipe her stupid ass, crybaby ass tears.
Yeah, like that. I'm gonna remember that shit.
Oh, yeah, she's Puerto Rican. They're Puerto Rican. They're Puerto Rican or Dominican. They're one of the two. Yeah, no, you can't. No, I don't even know what the fuck she's talking for. You're not going to win that fight. You are never going to win the fight about a Latino man about his mother. You can cancel Christmas on that shit.
I don't know how far they're going. I don't know what it is. I like it when his mother makes a point. He just immediately takes a beat and like repeats it, but hardcore.
Yeah. I don't even know why she opened her mouth about that. I can't believe I'm sitting like, bitch, you look. Look, here's the rule. If mom doesn't offer to sit in the back seat,
right?
Go ahead and get your ass in the back seat. That's the rule. That is the rule. Like, no. No, and the idea that you would have the audacity to be like, oh, your mom should sit in the back seat. It's like, bitch, do you know that's my, like, no, that's my mother.
I just thought it was amazing.
She was lucky that he didn't say that to her. Like, bitch, that's my mom. Do you know what the fuck you just said?
He basically did.
Yeah. Yeah, but he was like, did you know what the fuck you just said?
I enjoyed where she said you can take her to the store so she can get tissue. It's not enough that you're in the front seat. You got to throw shade like that.
Yeah, the rule that you made up earlier about the her throwing shit.
Yeah.
She's throwing shit. You need to go ahead and get rid of her.
There's no winning there. I mean, but at this point, she's going to be mad and he's not getting any.
Yeah.
Oh, well, why don't you go fuck your mom then?
Yeah.
Yeah, you let her ride in the front seat?
Yeah.
Why should you ride in the front? Because I'm his shorty. Well, I'm his mother.
That's it.
If it wasn't for me, he wouldn't be here and you wouldn't be here.
Yes. You're not winning. Like, I don't even know. Like, you're not winning that argument.
No.
What the fuck are you thinking? You're not winning the argument.
Nope. It's my car.
It's my car. Too.
Then you should have drove.
Yeah, exactly. Then you and mom would
make him sit in the fucking back.
Yeah, then you and mom would have been in the front seat, or he would have been on the passenger side, and mom would have sat in the back seat.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No.
If you want to be in the front, you better drive.
Yes.
I'm betting he has a rule where he drives.
Yes.
Don't touch my seat,
man.
Don't be scooting my seat forward. I'm 6'4".
Yes. It.
So bad. Meanwhile, why can't we have nice things? Well, in Sweden, for the past several years, they have been turning over the official Twitter account of Sweden to an average citizen. That's over now. After 365 curators, 119,000 new followers, and more than 200,000 tweets, the current host of the account, Eric, will be the last average citizen to hold the reins. When the Swedish Institute began its Twitter public relations project 7 years ago, the internet was a very different place, although the Nate Darling Show was still on it. The age of relentless personal branding hadn't quite kicked into gear, and the Arab Spring was afoot. Twitter had just passed its fifth birthday, and it was only starting to grow into its role as a global clearinghouse for opinions and news. The first curator for the project, Jack Werner, was launched into the rarefied space. He promptly tweeted a masturbation joke that earned him the moniker, "The Masturbating Swede." Ever since that, the account has been off to the races. Subsequently, curators got into trouble by asking, "What's the fuzz with Jews?" starting a war of words with their Danish rivals, and even squaring up with President Trump. It was a rollicking time, and the project spawned a cadre of imitators, most notably Ireland. In 2012, the country's official Twitter account was given over to its citizens much in the same way. But a lot has changed during the past 7 years, and much of it not for the better. What used to be a home for funny, irreverent comedy and harmless gags gradually transformed into an unaccountable cesspool of toxic actors and bad faith harassers. The shift was both crystallized and accelerated by Gamergate, a coordinated campaign of abuse directed at women in games journalism. The collaborative tactics of harassment and disinformation created a playbook that could subsequently be deployed to intimidate and bully specific targets, attack their friends and family, threaten their jobs, and often drive them off social media entirely. Back in 2016, the account began to receive its share of online hate. It seems like this kind of abuse tends to be targeted at women. We're not quite sure yet if that's a key pattern, but it's mainly women who have received it over the summer. That's what the Swedish Institute head said then. He said it often seems to be new followers of the account who send the abuse, but we're looking at it now to try and get a better picture. On other sites, you can see a pattern of how trolls organize themselves, so it's possible that's the case. Soon they made a change in how they blocked accounts. Instead of unblocking everyone, one curator had blocked after the shift was up. The blocked accounts would stay blocked for the safety of the curators. If it doesn't work in the end, the account becomes flooded with this, that type of stuff, and maybe we'll have to start thinking about whether we should continue the project. So, it's over.
Dumbasses.
Internet trolls have ruined everything. Absolutely ruined everything. Including the Swedish Twitter page. Couldn't have nice things, could we?
Nope.
Had to harass women, didn't you? Had to be like, oh, yeah, women, tits, yeah. What's going on with you, man?
Nobody wants to give me this. I gotta be an asshole.
Why can't people be nice?
And you gotta be a special kind of asshole for women not want to have sex with you. Because women, especially young women, tend to typically like to have sex with assholes.
Gotta ask you this, Kareem. And this has nothing to do with assholes, but how about that Aaron Rodgers comeback?
Oh, yeah. Mr. Oh, my leg is broke.
Do you have friends who are Bears fans?
Yes.
I have one in particular, former coworker, who was posted on Facebook during the first half. It didn't go well for him in the end. Bears fans are the goddamn worst about that. They get all chesty and talk shit.
Yeah.
And then when their team ultimately folds up like a cheap suit.
Yeah.
They're like, it was nothing. It was that.
Yeah. Well, you know, when he went down, they thought, oh, we got to win our first game of the season.
Right.
And then they came back and like, oh, fuck.
With his woman up in the press box, up in the luxury box, looking down.
Yeah.
Did what he had to do.
He has a type.
He clearly likes the brunettes who don't have large racks.
Or, yeah.
Small-breasted brunettes. Good for him.
Yeah. Go Aaron Rodgers.
Go Aaron Rodgers. Do your thing. In honor of Sweden, I decided some Yngwie Malmsteen was appropriate. We don't have to hear ABBA every time you mention Sweden.
No.
Or Ace of Base. No! Look up some Yngwie Malmsteen. Make something of yourselves, people! First, learn how to spell Yngwie. And then how to spell Malmsteen. And you're well on your way. And remember, sometimes it's Yngwie J. Malmsteen to distinguish him from all the other Yngwie Malmsteens.
Yngwie Malmsteen.
Yngwie Malmsteen. You might know him from the group Yngwie Malmsteen's Rising Force. He was very big in the 80s. He's still touring.
Okay, I believe you.
He's still touring. He is an amazing guitarist. I think this is from 1988. I think this would be. This is the song Rising Force. No, this is not it. Sorry. Oh, no, it is. I'm sorry. It's Yngwie Malmsteen's Rising Force. Odyssey. Okay, enough of that. All right, let's wrap this thing up and call it a night.
Let's leave the hustle and bustle for small town news.
All right, so Marilyn Haggerty from the Grand Forks Herald came to national prominence when she gave a glowing review to the Olive Garden. And you thought to yourself, well, that's it, right?
Yeah.
Oh, no. This week, the Eat Beat that Marilyn writes submits the headline, Boneless Chicken Wings Tasty at B-Dubs.
B-Dubs. Oh, God.
That's right. Marilyn went to Buffalo Wild Wings.
Yes.
An order of boneless wings, $10.99. That's what I ended up ordering when I made a late afternoon visit to Buffalo Wild Wings at 2717 South Columbia Road. With it, I figured I needed a cola. That turned out to be 20 ounces for $2.99. Nibbling on the wings and sipping cola was pleasant as I watched people come and go during the supper hour on a September evening. The supper hour, Kareem.
Supper hour at Buffalo Wild Wings.
I was not alone. Philip the Fly had found a way to my table. The menu at Buffalo Wild Wings is good because it lists the calories right along with the prices for each item. I think that's a requirement. At least it is in California. It describes the signature sauces and seasonings. For instance, Asian Zing is a chili pepper, soy, and ginger sauce. The seasonings range from very mild salt and vinegar to desert heat, a fiery combination of peppers with a sweet, dry touch of smoke. And it is something that I would approach with caution.
And a glass of milk.
I would approach it with caution. I would approach it with an abundance of caution if I were you. I mean, I don't know. Maybe her innards have all been chewed out. So I don't know. Anything is possible. Right? I need musical accompaniment to go along with Marilyn. Can't just have Marilyn. With seating for more than 300, Buffalo Wild Wings is one of the largest bar and dining facilities in Greater Grand Forks. There's room for 114 in the bar area. Then there's seating in booths and tables for about 80 guests and a large side dining room. And then there's the sunroom that accommodates 90. Buffalo Wild Wings has an adjacent parking lot. Inside, the staff seems well organized. All of the servers were wearing gray and yellow shirts with the number 82 on the front. the number 82. Of course, Marilyn had to ask, why? Why the number 82? Do you know why? They told me it marks the year 1982 when the nationally known chain of 82 places was established. The entryway has pictures of area sports teams. This is important. The restroom is adequate and convenient. The staff seems well organized. My servers were pleasant and courteous. My boneless wings were tasty. Nice crisp covering with white meat inside. The menu lists buffalo mac and cheese for $10.49 with a side salad for $4.29. There are 7 choices of salad to go with the wild wings. And there are 7 choices of kids' meals for little sports fans under 12. I noticed during my visit to Buffalo Wild Wings that many parents bring their young children during the supper hour.
Supper!
When the place gets rolling on busy sports days, there is camaraderie over the wings in the bar. Fans tend to group together and share such favorites as fried pickles, crunchy dill pickle slices that are cornmeal breaded, fried, and served with a Southwestern ranch dressing. By the way, if you're looking for it, Buffalo Wild Wings is at 2717 South Columbia Road. She lists their phone number. Todd LaHaze is the owner-operator. Rainer Schottke is the chef. And the general manager is Jeff Groven. It's open from 11 a.m. to 1 a.m. every day. The report card, food geared for sports watching, menu well-organized, easy to read, helps anyone interested in counting calories keep track.
I'm going to Buffalo Wild Wings tomorrow because of this story.
Right? keep track of your calories?
Yes.
Service good, courteous, convenient parking. Maryland is not stopping.
Yeah, I'm going to Buffalo Wild Wings for lunch tomorrow.
Oh, nice. I do not have that option. Is it? It would be quite a drive from South Sac to a Buffalo Wild Wings.
Oh, yeah. Well, here's the one in the Thomas. I'll be going to that one.
That is not close. That is not close. I did go to Natomas to pick up cat food at the PetSmart on lunch one day.
Yeah.
Because they get prescription cat food.
How long did it take you to get there?
It took me about 20 minutes to get there and 20 minutes to get back.
Oh, yeah.
And 20 minutes in the store.
Oh, wow.
So that was my lunch hour.
Yes. Yeah, no, I'm going to go there tomorrow for lunch.
Ungrateful little sons of bitches.
Try to... If you ever go, the next time you go, try the Caribbean jerk chicken sandwich. It's pretty good.
Interesting. All right. Let's see where we are. Oh, yeah, nice. Timed out the show pretty well, actually. Another big weekend coming up. NFL back at it again. Will your Steelers win this week?
No, I don't know. They're playing Kansas City.
Ooh, another tie.
And Joe Hayden slightly pulled a hamstring on Sunday, so... That was another thing that contributed to the tie.
It's bad times.
Yes.
Let's see. Who are my 49ers playing? I don't even know who they're playing next week. It looks like they're playing the Lions, who got their asses handed to them.
Oh, yeah. Well, you might have a chance.
Or the Lions will be very angry and looking to catch a break.
Before we go, police officers, don't go into the wrong person's apartment and shoot them for nothing.
Oh, yeah, don't. Yeah, if you make sure it's your home before you start shooting people.
Yeah, just do that part.
Dallas.
Texas.
I came home and there was somebody in my apartment, so I shot him. Wait, what? I don't live here?
Yeah. Turn the fucking lights on.
Yeah.
Before you start shooting.
There's a lot of things you can do.
Yeah.
Don't shoot people. All right. That's it. Have a great weekend, everybody. We'll see you next time. Bye.